Chapter 104. The end of a long journey. The train of carts and horses came and went all day from dawn to nightfall, making little or no daily impression on the heap of ashes. Though, as the days passed on, the heap was seen to be slowly melting. My lords and gentlemen and honorable boards, when you in the course of your dust shoveling and cinder raking have piled up a mountain of pretentious failure, you must off with your honorable coats for the removal of it, and fall to the work with the power of all the queen's horses and all the queen's men, or it will come rushing down, and bury us alive. Yes. Verily, my lords and gentlemen and honorable boards, adapting your catechism to the occasion, and by God's help so you must. For when we have got things to the pass, that with an enormous treasure at disposal to relieve the poor, the best of the poor detest our mercies, hide their heads from us, and shame us by starving to death in the midst of us, it is a pass impossible of prosperity, impossible of continuance. It may not be so written in the Gospel according to Poznapuri. You may not find these words for the text of a sermon, in the returns of the Board of Trade, but they have been the truth since the foundations of the universe were laid, and they will be the truth until the foundations of the universe are shaken by the Builder. This boastful handiwork of ours, which fails in its terrors for the professional pauper, the sturdy breaker of windows and the rampant terror of clothes, strikes with a cruel and a wicked stab at the stricken sufferer, and is a horror to the deserving and unfortunate. We must mend it, lords and gentlemen and honorable boards, or in its own evil hour it will mar every one of us. Old Betty Higden fared upon her pilgrimage as many ruggedly honest creatures, women, and men, fare on their toiling way along the roads of life, patiently to earn a spare bare living, and quietly to die, untouched by workhouse hands. This was her highest sublunary hope. Nothing had been heard of her at Mr. Boffin's house, since she trudged off. The weather had been hard, and the roads had been bad, and her spirit was up. A less stanch spirit might have been subdued by such adverse influences, but the loan for her little outfit was in no part repaid, and it had gone worse with her than she had foreseen, and she was put upon proving her case and maintaining her independence. Faithful soul! When she had spoken to the secretary of that deadness that steals over me at times, her fortitude had made too little of it. Oftener and ever oftener, it came stealing over her. Darker and ever darker, like the shadow of advancing death. That the shadow should be deep as it came on, like the shadow of an actual presence, was in accordance with the laws of the physical world, for all the light that shone on Betty Higden lay beyond death. The poor old creature had taken the upward course of the River Thames as her general track. It was the track in which her last home lay, and of which she had last had local love and knowledge. She had hovered for a little while in the near neighborhood of her abandoned dwelling, and had sold, and knitted and sold, and gone on. In the pleasant towns of Chertsey, Walton, Kingston, and Staines, her figure came to be quite well known for some short weeks, and then again passed on. She would take her stand in market places, where there were such things, on market days. At other times, in the busiest that was seldom very busy portion of the little quiet high street, at still other times she would explore the outlying roads for great houses, and would ask leave at the lodge to pass in with her basket, and would not often get it. But ladies in carriages would frequently make purchases from her trifling stock, and were usually pleased with her bright eyes and her hopeful speech. And these and her clean dress originated a fable that she was well to do in the world. One might say, for her station, rich, as making a comfortable provision for its subject which costs nobody anything, this class of fable has long been popular. In those pleasant little towns on Thames, you may hear the fall of the water over the weirs, or even, in still weather, the rustle of the rushes. And from the bridge you may see the young river, dimpled like a young child, playfully gliding away among the trees, unpolluted by the defilements that lie in wait for it on its course, and as yet out of hearing of the deep summons of the sea. It were too much to pretend that Betty Higden made out such thoughts. No, but she heard the tender river whispering to many like herself, "Come to me, come to me." When the cruel shame and terror you have so long fled from most beset you, come to me. I am the relieving officer appointed by eternal ordinance to do my work. I am not held in estimation according as I shirk it. My breast is softer than the pauper nurse's. Death in my arms is peacefuler than among the pauper wards. Come to me. Apostrophe, there was abundant place for gentler fancies to, in her untutored mind. Those gentle folks and their children inside those fine houses, could they think, as they looked out at her, what it was to be really hungry, really cold? Did they feel any of the wonder about her, that she felt about them? Bless the dear laughing children! If they could have seen sick Johnny in her arms, would they have cried for pity? If they could have seen dead Johnny on that little bed, would they have understood it? Bless the dear children for his sake, anyhow. So with the humbler houses in the little street, the inner firelight shining on the panes as the outer twilight darkened. When the families gathered indoors there, for the night, it was only a foolish fancy, to feel as if it were a little hard in them to close the shutter and blacken the flame. So with the lighted shops, and speculations whether their masters and mistresses taking tea in a perspective of back parlor, not so far within, but that the flavor of tea and toast came out, mingled with the glow of light, into the street either drank or wore what they sold, with the greater relish, because they dealt in it. So with the churchyard on a branch of the solitary way to the night's sleeping place. Ah me! The dead and I seem to have it pretty much to ourselves in the dark and in this weather. But so much the better for all who are warmly housed at home. Apostrophe, the poor soul envied no one in bitterness, and grudged no one anything. But, the old abhorrence grew stronger on her as she grew weaker, and it found more sustaining food than she did in her wanderings. Now, she would light upon the shameful spectacle of some desolate creature, or some wretched ragged groups of either sex, or of both sexes, with children among them, huddled together like the smaller vermin for a little warmth lingering and lingering on the doorstep, while the appointed evader of the public trust did his dirty office of trying to weary them out, and so get rid of them. Now, she would light upon some poor decent person, like herself, going afoot on a pilgrimage of many weary miles, to see some worn-out relative or friend who had been charitably clutched off to a great blank barren union house, as far from old home as the county jail. The remoteness, of which is always its worst punishment for small rural offenders, and in its dietary, and in its lodging, and in its tending of the sick, a much more penal establishment. Sometimes she would hear a newspaper read out, and would learn how the Registrar General cast up the units that had within the last week died of want, and of exposure to the weather, for which that recording angel seemed to have a regular fixed place in his sum, as if they were its halfpence. All such things she would hear discussed, as we, my lords and gentlemen and honorable boards, in our unapproachable magnificence never hear them, and from all such things she would fly with the wings of raging despair. This is not to be received as a figure of speech. Old Betty Higden, however tired, however footsore, would start up, and be driven away by her awakened horror of falling into the hands of charity. It is a remarkable Christian improvement, to have made a pursuing fury of the Good Samaritan. But it was so in this case, and it is a type of many, many, many. Two incidents united to intensify the old unreasoning abhorrence granted in a previous place to be unreasoning, because the people always are unreasoning, and invariably make a point of producing all their smoke without fire. One day she was sitting in a marketplace on a bench outside an inn, with her little wares for sale, when the deadness that she strove against came over her so heavily that the scene departed from before her eyes. When it returned, she found herself on the ground, her head supported by some good-natured market women, and a little crowd about her. "Are you better now, mother?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked one of the women. "Do you think you can do nicely now?" Apostrophe apostrophe, have I been ill then? Apostrophe apostrophe, asked old Betty. You have had a faint like, apostrophe was the answer, or a fit. It ain't that you've been a struggling, mother, but you've been stiff and numbed. Apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe apostrophe, said Betty, recovering her memory. It's the numbness. Yes. It comes over me at times. Apostrophe, was it gone? The woman asked her. It's gone now, apostrophe, said Betty. I shall be stronger than I was afore. Many thanks to ye, my dears, and when you come to be as old as I am, may others do as much for you. Apostrophe apostrophe, they assisted her to rise, but she could not stand yet, and they supported her, when she sat down again upon the bench. My head's a bit light, and my feet are a bit heavy, apostrophe, said old Betty, leaning her face drowsily on the breast of the woman who had spoken before. They'll both come natural in a minute. There's nothing more the matter. Apostrophe, ask her, apostrophe, said some farmers standing by, who had come out from their market dinner, who belongs to her. Apostrophe, are there any folks belonging to you, mother? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the woman. Yes, sure, apostrophe, answered Betty. I heard the gentleman say it, but I couldn't answer quick enough. There's plenty belonging to me. Don't ye fear for me, my dear. Apostrophe, but are any of them near here? Said the men's voices, the women's voices chiming in when it was said, and prolonging the strain. Quite near enough, apostrophe, said Betty, rousing herself. Don't ye be afeard for me, neighbors. Apostrophe, but you are not fit to travel. Where are you going? Apostrophe was the next compassionate chorus she heard. I may go into London, when I've sold out all, apostrophe, said Betty, rising with difficulty. I write good friends in London. I want for nothing. I shall come to no harm. Thank you. Don't ye be afeard for me. Apostrophe, a well-meaning bystander, yellow-legged and purple-faced, said hoarsely over his red comforter, as she rose to her feet, that she oughtn't to be let to go. For the Lord's love, don't meddle with me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried old Betty, all her fears crowding on her. I am quite well now, and I must go this minute. Apostrophe, she caught up her basket as she spoke, and was making an unsteady rush away from them, when the same bystander checked her with his hand on her sleeve, and urged her to come with him, and see the parish doctor. Strengthening herself by the utmost exercise of her resolution, the poor trembling creature shook him off, almost fiercely, and took to flight. Nor did she feel safe until she had set a mile or two of by road between herself and the marketplace, and had crept into a copse, like a hunted animal, to hide and recover breath. Not until then for the first time did she venture to recall how she had looked over her shoulder, before turning out of the town, and had seen the sign of the White Lion hanging across the road, and the fluttering market booths, and the old grey church, and the little crowd gazing after her, but not attempting to follow her. The second frightening incident was this. She had been again as bad, and had been for some days better, and was traveling along by a part of the road, where it touched the river, and in wet seasons was so often overflowed by it, that there were tall white posts set up to mark the way. A barge was being towed towards her, and she sat down on the bank, to rest and watch it. As the tow rope was slackened by a turn of the stream, and dipped into the water, such a confusion stole into her mind, that she thought she saw the forms of her dead children, and dead grandchildren peopling the barge, and waving their hands to her in solemn measure. Then, as the rope tightened and came up, dropping diamonds, it seemed to vibrate into two parallel ropes and strike her, with a twang, though it was far off. When she looked again, there was no barge, no river, no daylight, and a man whom she had never before seen held a candle close to her face. Now, Miss Sis, apostrophe, said he, where did you come from, and where are you going to? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the poor soul confusedly asked the counter question where she was. I am the lock, apostrophe, said the man. The lock? apostrophe apostrophe, I am the deputy lock on job, and this is the lock house. Lock or deputy lock, it's all one, while the toter man's in the hospital. What's your parish? Apostrophe apostrophe, parish. Apostrophe apostrophe, she was up from the truckle bed directly, wildly feeling about her for her basket, and gazing at him in affright. You'll be asked the question downtown, apostrophe said the man. They won't let you be more than a casual there. They'll pass you on to your settlement, Miss Sis, with all speed. You're not in a state to be let come upon strange parishes septon as a casual. Apostrophe, 'twas the deadness again. Apostrophe, apostrophe, murmured Betty Higdon, with her hand to her head. It was the deadness, there's not a doubt about it, apostrophe returned the man. I should have thought the deadness was a mild word for it, if it had been named to me, when we brought you in. Have you got any friends, Miss Sis? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the best of friends, master. Apostrophe, I should recommend your looking them up, if you consider them game, to do anything for you, apostrophe said the deputy lock. Have you got any money? Apostrophe, apostrophe, just a morsel of money, sir. Apostrophe, do you want to keep it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, sure I do. Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, you know, apostrophe said the deputy lock, shrugging his shoulders with his hands in his pockets, and shaking his head in a sulkily ominous manner, the parish authorities downtown will have it out of you. If you go on, you may take your Alfred David. Apostrophe, then I'll not go on. Apostrophe, they'll make you pay, as far as your money will go, apostrophe pursued the deputy, for your relief as a casual, and for your being passed to your parish. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.